In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
We're gathered here in our church. It looks so beautiful with the Christmas decorations, but it looks most beautiful because of us. The faithful are the adornment of God's church. And way back in 1905, there was a member of the faithful who was part of this community, St. Alexander Hodovitsky, whom we commemorate today. Not only a great church and a saint in the Orthodox Church, but a great saint in this parish. He celebrated our first Divine Liturgy on May 5th, 1906, at the little temporary church we had on Valley Street. For the next 3 years, he came up probably once a month to celebrate liturgy and take the train from New York City to Charleston and then take the trolley here. When the first liturgy was celebrated in this building on June 24th, 1909, the priest from Insania was serving liturgy, so we probably had a three-year period where St. Alexander was our priest. He served a lot of churches in that capacity. There's at least 12 in the OCA who look to him as their founder. He was the priest at the cathedral in New York City, and the cathedral is the church of the bishop, so he was close to the bishop and he'd go to wherever there was need. He'd travel up here to the factory towns of New England, he'd travel to the coal mining areas of West Virginia and Pennsylvania and out to the industrial cities of the Midwest and the Great Lakes. So he was a man who was constantly serving the church. When I was reading about his life, I was struck by his humility. There's one event I was reading about when he was first assigned to New York City. It was in 1896. He had been recently married to Maria. Graduated seminary the year before. He came to America as a missionary. He went to New York as a priest, but it was before there was a cathedral there. The bishop's seat was still in San Francisco. So in order to move the bishop to New York, a bishop has to have a cathedral. So St. Alexander took that upon his shoulders. So first he had to go to the Tsar, and he asked for the Tsar's blessing if he could raise money to build a cathedral in New York. And the Tsar said, yes, not only do you have my blessing, but I will donate the first 5,000 gold rubles. This was in St. Petersburg. And Kronstadt is a little island just off the coast of St. Petersburg, where St. John was the priest. So that was St. Alexander's next stop. He went to Kronstadt, and he said, St. John, or Vladika John at that time, can I get your blessing and maybe a few rubles for this cathedral in New York? And St. John gave him a little bit of money, and St. Alexander wrote it in his little pledge book that he had, and Vladika John said, wait, what's that? Give me that book. And St. John of Kronstadt inscribed a little blessing on the front page, and then afterwards, wherever St. Alexander would go, he traveled throughout America and raising money for this church, and people would see the inscription by St. John of Kronstadt on his pledge book, and they would double, triple, or quadruple their donation because the project had the blessing of St. John. So then afterwards, people would say, St. Alexander built the church in New York. And St. Alexander would say, no, St. John built the church in New York. And then in 1914, after 19 years of service as a missionary in America, he finally went back home to Russia. And he was ready to embark on the boat, and his metropolitan, Platon, was there. And he said a few words to see him off. And he said, St. Alexander, I'm your spiritual father. I know about your humility. You think that you always fall short of the mark and you're a perpetual sinner. But this one time, let this group of people be a testimony to the fact that you are worthy. Those were a couple of examples from St. Alexander's life that stood out in my mind of his humility. When he was back in Russia, he originally went to Finland and Helsinki, which was part of the Russian Empire at that time. There was a minority group, the Karelians up north, who were dominated by the Protestants, who are the majority of the population, and St. Alexander fought for their rights and independence. Then he went to Moscow, where again he was assigned to the cathedral, and he worked with St. Tikhon, who he also worked with in America. St. Tikhon instructed St. Alexander what to do, and St. Alexander was very obedient in implementing his hierarch's wishes. So then the revolution happened and the civil war happened, and the communists were confiscating church property, any gold or silver that they had on the liturgical vessels or the icons. And St. Alexander said, we have to be compensated for this. You cannot take liturgical vessels and use them for non-ecclesiastical purposes. So, he got into a lot of fights with the Soviets over this issue. He was arrested many times. So and eventually, St. Tikhon, his patriarch, got so upset that he saw so much bloodshed and suffering that he said, we pledge fealty and loyalty to the communist government. And St. Alexander followed in his footsteps and didn't say anything bad about the government, but he was still arrested and imprisoned for 3 years. He was sent into exile. When he came back, he served in various capacities until 1937, where he was finally arrested and executed. And I look back on all that he did. People don't talk about him being a notable preacher, although he was capable in his own right. And he wasn't like Vladika John of Kronstadt, where thousands and thousands of people would come to see him. He had a beautiful tenor voice, and he served an excellent divine liturgy, but people don't talk about miracles happening in his presence. So the thing that is most noticeable and notable about St. Alexander is, I might call it the sanctification of the mundane, just in the little things in his daily life that he went about so faithfully, so piously, and so joyfully. He executed everything that was his responsibility. It shows we don't need to go out and do great things or have loud voices fighting great battles. We go about our lives in a humble manner with Christ in our hearts. We can be sanctified in the mundane like St. Alexander. And then the third point I want to bring up is his martyrdom in 1937. We don't actually know when he died. He just kind of disappeared. There was a great purge that was happening under Stalin at that time. So we might think, why didn't they fight back? And in the world, we get this idea that the end justifies the means. But in the Orthodox Church, the end and the means are inseparable. The means reflect the end. So if Christ is our beginning, our middle, and our end, or he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, as we read in the epistle this morning. So if Christ is our end, then our means to get there have to reflect Jesus Christ. And he's also our beginning. He created the world, and the meaning of life for Christians is Jesus Christ. We want to be with Christ and know him. So, and the methods we use to get there have to be consistent with Jesus Christ and his message. So St. Alexander was faithful. He executed his hierarch's wishes, but he never fought back. He didn't defend himself against the false charges against him. So his means were always consistent with Jesus Christ. So then he was like the servant we read about in the gospel. When his time came and he was called, he was waiting for his master. And the Lord said, come into the joy of your Lord. And he became a martyr that we commemorate on this day. So through the prayers of St. Alexander, may we have many, many more divine liturgies in this beautiful building. And may he pray for the Barton family who's expecting a child who they are going to dedicate to his memory, and pray for all of us. Amen.